welcome to another edition of Midwest Beat. I'm your host, Tom Lounges. In the past, I've had the pleasure of interviewing Justin Hayward of the Moody Blues on this program. Well, the Moodies are coming back this weekend to Star Plaza Theater. And this time, for the first time, I welcome John Lodge, bass player and songwriter of the legendary band. But before I bring John on, let's sample something from his new solo album, 10,000 Light Years Ago. This tune is, as the title says, simply magic. John Lodge joins us on the other side. Welcome to another edition of Midwest Beat, a show all about music and the people who make it. I'm your host, Tom Lounges. The song I open the show up with is called Simply Magic. It's a great little song that sums up the wonderful career and musical output of my guest this evening, John Lodge, the bass guitarist, vocalist, songwriter of the long-standing rock group The Moody Blues, who will be performing November 3rd here in Merrillville at Star Plaza Theater. That song, Simply Magic, is from John's recent solo album, 10,000 Light Years Ago. And during this evening's program, in addition to chatting about the Moody Blues and their tour and playing a couple of classic tracks, I'll be shining a spotlight on songs from that new album, 10,000 Light Years Ago. John Lodge, welcome to Midwest Beat.
Hey, Tom, thank you very much. Very nice words.
It's been over a decade since a new Moody's album came out. I believe December was the last studio album, and even though you guys have been touring constantly, I've got to wonder if the absence of recording with the group might have put the itch in you to finally release a second solo album after so many years.
Yeah, well, you know, the record industry for the Moody Blues has changed so much. And, you know, as you say, we released December, our last album, and... you know, so it's really down to record company really wanting the Moody Blues to make an album. You know, you found the record company that really wanted to be behind it. I think it'd be great. You know, when you write songs, this is why I wanted to make my own album. You know, when you write songs, you're giving up a part of yourself. You know,
right?
And you're putting it out there. And the worst thing in the world is if you do all that and no one takes any interest, you know, not from the public, not from the not from the fans and the listeners, but you know, from the so-called music people who are supposed to be behind everything. And you know, it is a part of yourself that you're giving up. And I think from the Moody Blues point of view, it's quite a difficult one, you know, because we've always had the integrity of making an album that we believe in, and we believe in what we're doing.
Having been part of a group effort for decades in the studio, was it strange to kind of captain your own musical ship instead of being part of a collective?
Well, I actually made the record in a very different way. A few years ago, Justin and I did the soundtrack for an IMAX movie called Amazing Caves. And we did it in a totally different way, where Justin was in a studio in Europe, I was in a studio in Barbados, and we never actually, although we wrote the songs together, but we didn't actually record together. And it was a really interesting way of recording. And when I came to make 10,000 Light Years Ago, I thought, how can I make this different so I don't sit in a studio for month after month, you know, waiting for inspiration from not just me, but from the other musicians. And I realized that most of the people I wanted to work with had their own studios. So I thought it'd be a great idea to each of us do our own work, our own creativity, when we felt being creative. And so I made the demos, and we just kept passing files around to Chris Spedding on guitar, to Gordon on drums, and to Norda and Alan Hewitt on keyboards. And we kept passing the files around until I'd built up what I thought was the album. And then I booked a studio in Florida, the Music Factory, for 2 weeks. And I went in there with Alan Hewitt, and we put all the bass parts on, and all the vocals, acoustic guitars, and mixed it there. And it was a revelation to me of how to make an album.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's it. I found a new way of recording, so it may be a way of making a new Moody Blues album.
I found it interesting that you had Chris Spedding on the album. Chris, of course, going back to the Robert Gordon days, a rockabilly fan, and I know you are a fan of Americana and rockabilly, going back to Buddy Holly and Eddie Cochran and those guys, and yet the album doesn't have that sound. It seems like he was a little out of his wheelhouse, so to speak, but yet it worked.
Yeah, well, Chris Spedding was on my Natural Avenue album, and I've always loved Chris Spedding's work, always, and he was the first person I called. I'd written a song. I called him up. I said, "Chris, I've just written this song. Would you play guitar on it for me?" And he said, "Yeah, of course I will." And as soon as he said that, I said, "Well, actually, I've written an album. Would you come and play on the whole album?" And he said, "Yes." And so that was sort of the first piece of the jigsaw going into place, you know. I'd got my guitarist. I knew who the drum was going to be, and I had the keyboards. So, and I had the songs. So all the parts seem to fall into place then.
All right, let's talk a little about the inspiration behind the songs. It's an 8-song collection. It seems in some ways to be very retrospective of your musical and life's journey, yet it doesn't feel overtly nostalgic. This seems to be kind of a bridge between the past and the present. Was that the mindset? Was that the goal, to kind of sum up your career and point the compass in the future direction?
Well, what I wanted to do was, I'm not a person that looks backwards. I never, you know, I'm not interested in writing autobiographies or anything. I don't really want to look in the past. I always think the future. And I worked off. I was thinking one day about something, and I suddenly realized that the future is always in reach, but the past has gone forever. And I thought, I wonder what that means. And I thought, yeah, it's about who I am today. And that's why it's called 10,000 Light Years Ago, not 10,000 Light Years Away, because 10,000 Light Years Ago was when it all began for me,
mm-hmm.
and it's who I am now. You know, it's like the only analogy really is, you know, if you look up in the sky and the stars you see up there, they may actually not exist, but they existed whenever the light began to come our way. And it's the same as me, you know. I mean, whatever we've done in the past is there, and the music is here today. And that's what I wanted to do with the album. I wanted to write about now, about who I am today. But obviously, my past has brought me to where I am.
Right. One of my favorite songs on the album is Those Days in Birmingham, where you have the line about packing your bags and going off to Eddie's Cafe. What was Eddie's Cafe, and what part did it play in the formation of the John Lodge that we have come to know as a musician?
Yeah, well, Eddie's Cafe was the very in England, at the time when I was growing up, there was no places like cafes. There weren't any. There were sort of little places you could have something to eat and everything else. And they opened this little coffee shop near where they didn't actually sell coffee. They sold tea, tea and sandwiches. And it was right by my school. But they had in the corner a Rockola jukebox, and I'd never ever seen one of those before. And it had just been put in there when I was at school. And every lunchtime, I used to go with my change and put the money in the jukebox and listen to Buddy Holly, Gene Vincent, Little Richard. And that's what I did at lunchtime. And so Eddie's Cafe became a really big thing. And there was quite a lot of us at the time who were interested in rock and roll. We would just go and congregate at the cafe, and it was a great period of time. It made a great lunchtime, because it was always lunchtime to be in there.
Well, let's take the listeners back with you to Birmingham and Eddie's and play that song more with John Lodge when we return on the other side.
Days in Birmingham.
listening to Midwest Beat. I'm Tom Lounges. My guest this evening is John Lodge from the Moody Blues, who will be performing November 3rd at Star Plaza Theater in Merrillville. That track was called Those Days in Birmingham. It's from John's recent solo album, 10,000 Light Years Ago. John, you and Justin Hayward have newer albums. And, of course, the fans are wanting to hear more Moody Blues albums. And you had mentioned that because of the changing elements of the recording business these days, that may or may not be on the horizon. Have you stopped writing together for that reason? I mean, is there Moody Blues songs waiting to be recorded?
I think when we decide to write an album, we normally say, let's write an album, and then we start writing the songs for that album. I mean, I'm always writing songs, and I know Justin is always writing songs. So we're always writing songs. We're always exploring, you know, where the new song is going to be coming from. And it's just part of who I am, you know. I just enjoy songwriting. But I think when you make a Moody Blues album, you focus on the Moody Blues. The great thing about making 10,000 Light Years Ago, it was just really focused on John Lodge. But when I make a Moody Blues album, I really want the songs to be the Moody Blues, and it is slightly different. And I look forward to writing songs for the Moody Blues album. And you know, I hope we do make a new album. I think it'd be the time seems to be right. You know, there's so much trouble in the world and so much aggravation everywhere. Mm-hmm. It seems right for me that perhaps we should make a Moody Blues album, bring a bit of light and into the world.
To satiate the fans waiting for that new Moody's album, it was kind of nice retro throwback to have Ray Thomas and Mike Pinder, two former members of the Moody's, guest on the song we opened with, Simply Magic. How did you get those guys back on board? I know you've been friends with Ray for many, many years.
Yeah, I mean, I met Ray when I was 14, can you believe? And we've been friends ever since, and I've just finished a tour of the UK, and Ray came to two of the concerts, so it was really wonderful that he came. Really made it good. It made it good for the fans as well to see another Moody Blue at my concert. It was really, really nice. And Ray lives not far from me, and when I'd written Simply Magic, I realized that there was a fantastic flute part in it. So I went round to see Ray. I said, Ray, listen, I've written this song. Would you play flute on it? And he said, yeah, of course I will. So we recorded the flute. And then he said to me, have you thought about asking Mike? I thought, that's a great idea. So I rang Mike up in California. I said, Mike, I've written this song and Ray's played on it. I'd really love you to do some Mellotron on it for me. And he said, yes, of course, I'd love to. So Ray put the Mellotron on it. So Mike put the Mellotron on it. So it was really nice. It sort of made that circle for me. It sort of brought us together in a way that I never thought was going to actually happen.
Mm-hmm.
Just one of those magic moments, you know, one of those simply magic moments. Sorry about that.
No problem. I love it. Last year, when I spoke to Justin, I asked if some of the past members, including Mike, might ever be brought back for a reunion tour or an album, because so many of the veteran groups have done that. He seemed to dismiss the idea completely, that he didn't think it. He likened it to having gone through a divorce and why would you want to see your ex-wife again kind of thing. Do you think that that there might be a chance to do something with all some of the older guys just to celebrate, even a one-off tour or a one-off show?
I think there's a slight difficulty in the fact that, you know, there's a physical thing about doing a tour. And, you know, everyone's going to be physically really want to do it. And it's a different life on the road. You have to be a bit of a gypsy. And but you never know. Who knows? Who knows, you know? I mean, I wrote this song called House of Four Doors, and the idea about that is you open a door and you never know what you're going to find. And so who knows, you know, I never thought Mike and Ray would be on a song of mine on my solo album, you know, so I never say no to anything, you know, it's not cast in the sand, you know, there's not a line in the sand where we say, no, we're not going to go anywhere other than that. what happens, happens. And it'd be really nice, actually, to do something altogether. You know, whether it happens or not, I don't know.
Well, nobody's getting younger.
That's it.
It would be wonderful for the fans, and I think for you guys to do that. But like you said, we'll see what happens, what shakes out. Moody Blues have been on the road a lot the last few years. Has maintaining that busy schedule with the band being on the road allowed you much time to actually go out and promote 10,000 Light Years Ago? You mentioned a European tour, but I don't know if you did anything here in the U.S.
Well, I'd like to do the U.S. I mean, I did the U.K. tour to see how I enjoyed doing it and see the logistics and see how the band together. I put a fantastic band together. I'm really pleased. They're so good, you know. I've actually named the band as the 10,000 Light Year Band because it is a real entity. And I would like very much to come to America and bring it. So I could just play some of the songs, obviously from 10,000 Light Years Ago, but songs that we don't play in the Moody Blues, you know, to have another look at songs that people, you know, love playing. One of the songs I've been doing on the tour is Candle of Life, and it seemed to me so many Moody Blues fans just love that song, and the reception for it was just brilliant, you know, and it actually got, to be honest, it actually put shivers up my back, you know, feeling the reception of it, because I didn't realise how important it seems to be to a lot of people. And so, you know, that's one of the things about doing a solo tour. You can do all these other, these other songs. So hopefully I can bring it to America.
Well, let's do that song now. This is The Moody's, a classic track that has been too long off the radio and too long off the stage. This is Candle of Life. More with John Lodge when we return.
All the world.
This is Midwest Beat. I'm your host, Tom Lounges. That was Candle of Life, classic Moody Blues. And, well, it may not be one you'll be hearing on November 3rd, but you'll be hearing lots of great Moody Blues music when they come to the Star Plaza Theater. Again, that date, November 3rd in Merrillville, Indiana. My guest is John Lodge. John, let's talk about the state of the Moody Blues today. The band has been going strong for decades now. You seem to be having a great time. You're looking forward to possibly putting another album out if the fates allow. And with that said, do you see an end in sight, or is this a perennial thing that, like the Stones, you guys are just going to keep on keeping on?
You know, I've been a musician really all my life, and I play every day, and so it's just part of me forever, you know. And I never ever think about stopping. You know, stopping will be something that comes upon me from another reason altogether. But no, I mean, we're planning touring next year. We also have a Moody Blues cruise, which we do. And we've already signed up for that, and that's 2018.
Wow.
So, you know, way into the future. We like the corner shop, you know, the one that never closes, hopefully.
Every performer has moments in their live show that they most look forward to. What are some of those moments for you? Are there certain songs that you really look forward to when you go on stage every night?
Yeah, I really enjoy doing Nights in White Satin, because, you know, that really was the first song that really put us on the road as a band. I don't mean from a success point of view, but within the band we realized we had something different to everyone else when we started rehearsing that song. And, you know, the other song that I really love on stage isn't Life Strange, because it's quite complicated, and it's great. I just love the complication.
Isn't life strange? A turn of a page. Can read like before. Can we ask for more? Each day passes by. How hard man will try. The sea will not taste. You know it makes me want to cry.
Isn't life strange? A turn of the page, a book without lies, unless with love we rise.
Isn't life strange? Indeed it is. Classic track from the Moody Blues. My guest tonight, John Lodge of the Moodies, who will be performing this weekend at Star Plaza Theater. I'm Tom Lodges, and this is Midwest Beat. John, you had talked about the sound that evolved, the new change in the Moody Blues with Nights in White Satin. Once you and Justin joined the Moody Blues, a major change came to the band's sound with that second album, Days of Future Past. The songs had such a mystical feel to them. That was a very unique and fresh sound at that time. Prog rock really hadn't taken root yet. Where did that come from? Where did you guys create that unique sound?
I don't really know. I think it's the makeup of the band. We all sing. We have flute and we had mellotron. And, I'm from sort of a rock and roll background, and Justin is from sort of a more folky background. And I think it was a mixture of the two of us being the driving force, from that music point of view, that put the energy within the tracks. And I think it was a combination of those two things, you know. Mike, of course, wrote some fantastic songs, and so did Ray, absolutely beautiful songs. And but I think you have to start at the rhythm section, and most of the songs started with Justin on acoustic guitar and me on bass, and we sort of put those together from that point of view. And, before that, we were all sort of singing songs, the blues and everything else. But we'd never been to America.
Mm-hmm.
So we could only, be a facsimile of singing about the blues. But the blues could be English as well. And we suddenly realized, why don't we just write about our own lives and the experiences that we have? And that really is what the blues is about. And so I think we ended up with sort of an English blues, and our sound just developed, with the harmonies.
The British Invasion was happening at the time you guys really started to hit big. And, of course, the first album, when you and Justin were not in the band, had Denny Lane, and Go Now was a very much a British Invasion-sounding song. Given that you completely changed the makeup and the structure of the songs, did you get any blowback from the record label or from management saying, wait a minute, we've got a hit single and now you're going to screw it all up?
No, I think Go Now came out and it was a fabulous song and a Bessie Bank song. And after that, the success of the recordings didn't really seem to happen. And then when we decided to make Days of Future Past, the record company weren't too sure what they were getting, to be honest. It was supposed to be a sort of sampler album to show what stereo was and full frequency sound. And and they thought by combining an orchestra and a pop band, as they called it, they'd be able to exploit the record. But we made the record, and Sir Edward Lewis, who was the chairman of Decca Records in the UK, understood what we were doing, and he said, "No, you just carry on doing what you're doing." And we never sort of had anyone from the record company then interfere at all with anything that we were recording.
Decca was pretty much a classical label at that time, wasn't it?
Decca had a fabulous... Sir Edward Lewis actually started, I think, the record company, even in the States, you know, with the Decca Records of America. Before the war, during the war, British companies had to sell everything, so they had to get rid of the Decca Record Company in the U.S. But the Decca Record Company in England had an incredible orchestral division, absolutely wonderful, with people like Mantovani, and it was fabulous. Rowitz and Landor, people. They never heard these people, but they had a fantastic classical division. And what it did for us was the technicians who were making these albums taught us a lot of the technical side about making records. It's okay to make the record on tape, but then you've got to get, at those days, you know, from tape onto a record. It was the way they looked at it and the meticulous way that they made sure that what you recorded was actually on record.
Okay. Let's talk a bit about the songwriting. You've written a lot of songs for the Moody Blues, including major hits like Ride My Seesaw, Just a Singer. Can you share a story or two with my listeners about the writing process? What were some of the songs that you struggled most with? And on the flip side, what songs came surprisingly easy?
You know, one never knows where a song comes from. It just seems to happen, you know. And isn't life strange? I just bought a new piano, and that was sitting in my house. And I was having dinner one night, and I just heard this piano seem to play itself. And I went in there, sat down, and I wrote "Isn't Life Strange," but he'd only had the one word, the one line. "Isn't life strange? Isn't life strange? Isn't life?" It went round and round and round. So I had to think about the lyrics after that. So there's no set way that songwriting comes. Singer in a rock and roll band, that came from the riff that I played on bass. I worked out this riff on bass which I really liked, and Singer in a Rock and Roll Band developed from that, and Ride My Seesaw again developed from a rhythm section. And so there's no real I don't know, it just seems sometimes right on bass, sometimes on acoustic guitar, sometimes on piano, and sometimes on on the synthesizer. But or sometimes you like stepping in a slide zone. Mm-hmm. I actually wrote all that in the basement of a house I'd rented, and I just wrote it on a piece of paper and never ever thought about putting music to it. And then I suddenly thought, oh, hang on, I think that sounds like a song to me. So I put the music on afterwards. I never ever thought about writing the music for it.
That remains probably one of my very favorite Moody Blues songs of all time. And let's go back to that right now. This is Steppin' in the Slide Zone, more with John Lodge as we talk about the Moody Blues and his solo career after this.
Steppin'
Stepping in the slide zone, classic Moody Blues. You're listening to Midwest Beat. I'm Tom Lounges. My guest this evening, John Lodge of the Moody Blues, who will be performing November 3rd at Star Plaza Theater in Merrillville. John, we were talking about songwriting, and has the songwriting process changed for you personally over the decades that you've been writing and producing? It sounds from what you were saying that it comes hit and miss from so many different directions. Is there one style or one way that you're writing more so today?
No, it's just you can pick up a guitar. Say you can pick up a guitar and just start playing anything. You know, it could be a Buddy Holly song. It could be anything. You know, you're playing, or it may not be a song at all. You're just playing a few chords, and sometimes I think you trigger something in your mind. I don't know what it is. You trigger something, and you think, oh, I like that, and then that seems to develop into the song. Or you might be just looking out the window one day, you know, and you see the panorama in front of you, and you suddenly think how far things are away and how do you get there, and then you develop a song from that. So there's no I have no set way of writing a song at all. Fortunately, they just seem to happen. They just seem to come. I think if anybody's listening and want to be a songwriter, I think you just have to explore the instrument you're working on. Explore it, and one of the first things that someone told me when I was very, very young is take somebody else's song and then take someone else's song and rewrite it and make it so it does not sound like the one you're on.
You mentioned Buddy Holly, and it's interesting because almost every British rocker of your generation that I've spoken to, whether it's Paul McCartney, Peter Asher, Freddie Garrity, Spencer Davis, you've all cited Buddy Holly as a primary inspiration and influence. You've said the same many times in print and on radio. What is it about Buddy, above all others, that most impacted you?
There's two things about Buddy Holly that impacted me. One was, up until Buddy Holly, all the singers coming out of America, and rock and roll came out of America, let's be honest, it came totally out of America. They were all incredibly iconic figures, like Little Richard, Gee Vizard, Eddie Cochran, Elvis Presley, Jerry Lee Lewis. They were all iconic figures, and English people couldn't do that. And there were, we were reading lyrics, you know, about Beau Weevil. I had no idea what Beau Weevil was. And lyrics like "When Whippoorwill Call." I mean, what on earth was that about? We had no idea. And then suddenly this guy turns up in a suit and wearing glasses, playing a Fender guitar, and singing his own songs. And it was just, it was a revelation. It was like, yeah, that's what I want to do. And I was fortunate to see Buddy Holly in Birmingham when he toured. And my English tour, which I've just finished, I said to the agent, I want to finish the tour at Birmingham Town Hall, because that's where I saw Buddy Holly, and I want to stand there and look up and see the young John Lodge looking down on stage and Buddy Holly being on stage.
Wow.
And that was, for me, the great way to finish a tour.
Have you thought of doing Buddy covers or a Buddy tribute album or being a part of something connecting your past and his past?
All the while, but I just think all the Buddy Holly songs are perfect. I don't think anyone could improve on them, you know. Not Fade Away, the Rolling Stones did a good job on Not Fade Away.
Mm-hmm.
But I just, every time I listen to a Buddy Holly song, I've got some of all my original records, and I listen to them and everything. Tom, there's somebody else ringing on the other line.
Okay, I appreciate your time. In closing, is there anything that we haven't touched on that you would like
Tom,
to?
Tom, no, it's been a brilliant interview. Thank you very much indeed. I've really enjoyed it, and you've made me think about things as well, which I'm really pleased about. It's always nice to have an interview where it makes me have to think as well.
Well, let's close with a song from the new album. You pick one. It's your time to play DJ. What would you like to play off the new album?
Do Get Me Out of Here.
All right. Get Me Out of Here. That's what we're doing. We're getting out of here. This is track number 4 off the new album from John Lodge. John, we'll see you when you come here with the Moody Blues on November 3rd.
Looking forward to it, Tom. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Is there nothing I can say that will make you change your mind? Walking in this cold and lonely room, heaven only knows what lies in wait outside your door. But I guess I'm gonna find out real soon. Time when I'm not. mine.